I'd like for you tonight to turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter number 24 tonight. I'm going to read a story. I want you to follow along with me here. Joshua chapter number 24. I know it's a long passage of scripture, but I want you to just follow along with me for a few minutes so you can get the whole story tonight in our Bible study. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side, Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Now, that's a long passage of scripture, but my goodness, what a story this is of God's faithfulness and of God's goodness and how that God took care of his people. And God used this man Joshua, who came after God took Moses, the servant of God, home to be with him. And Joshua served God faithfully for many, many years. And here, as Joshua is getting old, he begins to gather the people together to remind them of all that God had done for them and of all the things that they needed to now be doing for the Lord. And in these passages, we see two specific things that Joshua reminded the people about. Now, I want you to take note of this tonight. First of all, he reminds them of the continual faithfulness of the Lord their God. You know what, folks? God has been faithful to you and me. God has been faithful to America. God has been faithful to us. But you know, the sad thing was, even while God was being faithful, the people in so many areas had not been as faithful as they ought to be. And you know, God wanted them to realize that he still loved them. But then secondly, Joshua here reminded them of their unfaithfulness to serve this ever-loving, this ever-providing, and this ever-faithful God. And Joshua reminded the people that if they did not do what they said they were going to do, then the same God that had been faithful to bless them and to take care of their needs was going to come down upon them and certainly bring judgment upon them. And in this chapter, after this gathering of the people together, Joshua not only reminded them of the faithfulness and of all the goodness of God and how that they had responded so unfaithfully in the blessings of God, he reminds them here that they need to be challenged to follow the Lord and to follow his leadership. And they were to follow the one that had done some things, so many good things for them, and they needed to make some right choices in their life. You know, so many times we find ourselves making wrong choices, do we not? And certainly there are many wrong choices that have been made in our nation today. And you know, today, I think that we are seeing come about in this land the consequences of our nation turning away from God. Our nation has done that which was not right in the eyes of God. And now we're seeing the consequences of those things. And boy, folks are beginning to get scared. They're beginning to get worried now about what's going to happen. But you know, God wanted Joshua to challenge these dear folks to start living for the Lord. Not simply for their present situation and not simply for their present generation, but for the generation that was to come after them, so that they would have something to live for and they would know of the blessings of God. And you know, in the same way tonight, I want this message to be a help to each of us as born again individuals, each of us that know Christ as our Savior. I want us to remember what God has commanded us to do as Christian individuals, as Christian families, okay? As a church, as a whole, we need to make sure that we are making the right choices in our service unto the Lord. Boy, it would be easy today in the way that the world is going with all this pestilent stuff to get sidetracked and get used to not being able to go to church, wouldn't it? Get used to not taking time to be in a Sunday school class and the fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But folks, we need to remember that God has allowed this thing to come about to test us, so to speak, to see what's really in our hearts. I believe God is wanting to see what's in our hearts. And we need to be lifting Him up in all that we do. And we need to be making the right choices, not only for today, but for tomorrow and for the next generation as well. Now, I want us to look at this lesson. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. And I want it to be a challenge to each of us. Man, as I was reading this week, what a challenge it was to my heart to remember my duties, my responsibility personally as the father of my home, as the leader, the spiritual guide in my home, to be what God wants me to be. And folks, we need to do that today while we have that opportunity to do it. So let's pray, and then I want to give you the message tonight entitled, I want to give this message to you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray tonight, and then we'll go ahead with the message. Father, I do love you tonight, and I thank you for the privilege to stand tonight and preach the Word of God. Lord, I want the Word to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, it's not my Word, but it's your Word. And you have promised, dear God, that your Word would not return void. So God, as you gave this message to me, so allow me, dear Lord, to give it to your people, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to challenge them, to make the right choices based upon our love for you and your love for us. Help us now, dear God, in this message. Give us the words to say. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to see a couple things tonight. Before I actually get into the meat of the message, I want to give you just a couple things here that I want you to see in these passages that will lead you into the message I want to share with you tonight, all right? First of all, I want you to see the record that Joshua writes here, the record of God's choices in verses 1 through 13. God chose to love His people. God chose to be faithful to His people. And you know what? The choice that God made, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Boy, aren't you glad that God is faithful even when we sometimes are not so faithful? And you know what? God here, through Joshua, reminded the children of Israel of His faithfulness unto them. Look at how many times Joshua reminds the people here of God's track record of faithfulness for them through all of these years. Look at verse number 3. He said, I took your father Abraham. He started there with him. In verse number 4, he said, I gave unto Isaac. Verse 5, I sent Moses. Verse number 6, I brought your fathers out. And then look at verse number 7. When the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, He said, He put darkness between them and the Egyptians. Verse number 8, He said, I brought you into the land. Verse 8 again, I gave them into your hand. And then verse 8 again, I destroyed them from before you. Verse number 10, look at it. I delivered you out of Balaam's hand, out of his hand. And then in verse number 11, when the men of Jericho fought against the children of Israel, God reminds them here, He said, I delivered them into your hand. And then look at verse number 12. He said, I sent the hornet before you. How many of you have ever been stung by a hornet? Boy, that's something to remember, is it not? We had a hornet's nest in the big tree out there that I was mowing around. And when I saw that thing, it was about this big around and about that long. And it was right next to the ground at the bottom of that tree. And I mowed through that thing, and it scared me to death. I thought, oh, Lord, I'm a dead man. I'm just a dead man. And you know what? When I came around the other side, the nest was empty. And I was just praising the Lord. Amen. I was praising God because there were no hornets in that thing. But boy, if you've ever been stung by a hornet, that gets your attention. And God sent the hornets. Look what He said in verse 12. I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you. Can you imagine all those big, bold soldiers, and they're all being chased by a bunch of hornets, and God's just laughing. Ha ha, I sent my bees after you. Amen. And you know what? God took care of His children through hornets. And then look at verse number 13. And now, finally, God says here, He said, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye did not build, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards And olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. 12 times in these passages of Scripture, we see the record of God's faithfulness to the people of God. And God had indeed been faithful to His people. God had been faithful, and He wanted Joshua to remind the people of God's track record. Now, just stop and think a minute in your own life. If you were to write down all the times of God's faithfulness in your life, my goodness, we'd run out of ink and paper, would we not? We would run out of it for certain. God had chosen. I want you to see this tonight. God chose to be faithful to His people. And God wanted them to take the time to remember His faithfulness. Folks, listen. When we have decisions to make, when we have those choices we have to make, we need to remember the faithfulness of God. Amen? God is indeed faithful. But the second thing I want you to see here in these passages, verse number 14, I want you to see Joshua's rebuke toward Israel for their bad choices. Look what he said to them. He said, "Now, therefore." In other words, here is what you ought to do because God has been so good to you. "Now, therefore, with those things in mind, with all the blessings of God, with God's track record of faithfulness in your heart and in your ears." Now look what he said. He said, "Now, therefore, you need to fear the Lord." You need to have fear for the Lord. Now that's not to say, "Oh, I'm afraid to do anything." No, that's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about an awesome respect, an honorable respect for the God that has loved you and who chose to care for you. He said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." And he said, "Then serve Him in sincerity and in truth." And Joshua tells him, don't serve God just because you're in trouble, but serve Him because you sincerely love Him. Serve Him in truth in all that you do. And then he tells him, number three, to put away the gods which your fathers served. Now, in my little mind, it's hard for me to imagine, after seeing all that these people had seen, after they had seen the pillar of fire that led them at night and the cloud that covered them in the day and kept them cool, the God that protected them at the Red Sea, and how God did all these other things, my mind can still not fathom the fact that they kept these little idols and false gods in their possession, sort of as a backup, as a plan B. Listen, honey, when you've got God on your side, you don't need a plan B, amen? He's the one that we trust. Amen. We trust Him. We depend upon Him. And He told him, He said, put away the gods which your fathers served. And number four, He said, serve ye the Lord. Amen. Serve ye the Lord. So he rebukes them for their bad choices in verse 14. But then in verses 15 through 18, look at it. He shows us here that the reward that comes for making the right choices. For making the right choices. When we were training our little puppy to use the bathroom outside instead of inside, I carried little cookie things in my pocket with me when I take her outside. And buddy, I'd lead her out in a grassy area and she'd sniff and she'd chase and play with this leaf and chase after that squirrel. And I'm saying, honey, you need to go to the bathroom. Do it now. Because I knew if I took her back inside, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen right there. And I would take her outside, and when she would do it, oh, I'd love that little dog. I'd come up and say, "Good girl, good girl." And I'd feed her a little treat. And I'd say, "Now do it again. Go over here and do the other part now. Go ahead and do that." And she'd get out there and do it. You know, I rewarded her for doing that which was right. Now, I know that may sound simple to you, but you know what? God wants to reward you and me when we do right as well. Why? Because He's proud that we trust Him. He's proud that we obey Him, that we choose to do what we're supposed to do. And you know, here in verse 15, Joshua, first of all, he himself sets the personal example of making right choices. He sets the example. He did this, number one, as the spiritual leader of God's people. But secondly, he did this also as the spiritual leader of his own home. And you know what? That's what we've got to do today. As leaders in a church, you say, well, I'm not a leader in the church. You're here, aren't you? You're here tonight. You're a leader. Man, you're here feeding upon the Word of God tonight. Many of you, husbands and wives, grandparents, you're leaders in your home. You're the spiritual leaders that God has placed there. And we need to set the example. And God wants to reward this. And He did this as an example to those who are still undecided about what they were going to do. Are they going to serve God? Or are they going to trust a little idol they got stuffed under their pillow in the back of their big tent? What are they going to do? God wanted them to know that there's some right, there are some good rewards for right choices. But then look at verses 16 through 18. Here in verses 16 through 18, now as a result of God's man making the right choices in his own life personally as well as publicly before the people that he was leading, the people now made their choice. What did they do? They saw the leader doing right and they said, you know what? He's right. We need to make a right choice today. And thank God for those leaders, the godly leaders in our church, for a pastor for 25 years. He has led this church right. He has shown us the path that we should go. He has encouraged us to stay in the Word of God. And you know what? God has blessed this church because of that. And God wants to be the one that can bless us. And here we see the answer from all the people in verse number 16. Look at it. The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Oh, that would be the words out of the mouths of men and women that call themselves Christians all across our nation today. God forbid that we should turn away from God and serve other gods. But then look at verse number 17. Here we see the people's recognition of all that God had done for them. Look at it, verse 17. They said, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great things in our sight and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. They recognized all that God had done for them. Folks, have you thought about all that God has done for you? My goodness, when I get to thinking of all the things God has done for me, I am overwhelmed at the goodness of God. Amen? I am simply overwhelmed at His goodness. But then look here at verse number 18. And here we see the determination and the choice of the people. The determination and the actual choice of the people. Look what it said. And the Lord drave out them before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. Amen. Oh, what a blessing to know. What a blessing it is for people when they determine in their heart that God is going to be God of their life. And that they recognize that it's not them that did all the great things, but it was the God of salvation that brought them out. I got to thinking the other day, my wife and I were just talking about it out in the yard. And man, we were looking at all the beauty of the woods and the trees and everything there, and how God brought us here, all the way from down south up here to this land, okay? A foreign land to us. It was a foreign land. It was far away too. But you know what? God brought us here, and He has been so faithful, so good. And we got to thinking about how that God brought us together. I rode a bus to Sunday school and got to come to church by means of the bus ministry. Her mom and dad brought her to church, but there, God brought the lowly with the highly. Or that's not right, is it? The lowly with the high, I guess it is. And you know what? She had a good background. She had parents that brought her to church. And you know what? I rode that Sunday school bus to church, and I found out that God had a plan for my life. Amen. And buddy, when God's plan works, it works. Amen? Amen. And I'm so thankful for all God's done. And you know, Joshua told the people, he said, I don't know about you folks, but as for me and my house, after we've seen all that God has done for us, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And I think it's good that we take time to sit down and observe and to recognize what God has done for us so that we can make the right choices in our lives. Now, I want to get down to the message tonight. I want to show you about four or five things real quick. And that's this. Number one, I want to start out with some questions tonight. I want to ask you these questions tonight. What really was the choice that the people needed to make in this chapter? What really was the choice that these people needed to make? Let me tell you what it was. The choice that they needed to make was between the gods of this present world and the God who created this world. And honey, let me tell you, there is a big difference. There is a big difference. The Bible said here in verses 14 and 15 that Joshua said, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He knew the God that he was going to serve. And they had to make a choice between the gods of Egypt, okay, that they had come out from, the gods of nature, the gods of sun, the gods of the earth, the gods of the rivers, the gods of the tree frogs and all these others that they worshiped. You know, they had to make a choice between serving those false gods and the God that made it all. They needed to make a choice between serving holy God and the gods of the Amorites, Baal, the idol worshipers, all of those pleasures that they enjoyed there in the land of the Amorites. You know, the Bible tells us over in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, verses 15 through 17, we're commanded there. John writes there and he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You say, now, preacher, I just don't believe. Listen, you can't love two different ones. What was it that Jesus said, I believe in Matthew chapter 6? You cannot serve two masters, okay? Listen, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. And these were the choices that these people had to make. Now Joshua had already predetermined before he stood before these people. He probably stood before them with fear in his heart because he knew the attitudes of some of those people. After God had been so good to all of them, he still knew that there were some that doubted God, that had not chosen what they were going to do with God as of yet. So Joshua, before he even stood before them, he predetermined within his own heart that he and his home, they were going to serve the Lord no matter what came their way and no matter what other choices the people made. And folks, that's what you and I've got to do today. Man, we may have neighbors that choose not to love the Lord God. They may have, we may have friends that we work with, people that we work beside, family members even, that just don't understand why you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And why do you go out and knock on doors and tell folks about Jesus? And why do you try to help encourage your children to learn Bible verses? There's a reason, folks. And the reason is because we've got to choose between love of this world and the love of that world. The gods of this world or the God of that world. And we've got to choose which one we're going to do, which one we're going to serve. We've got to make a difference in the lives of folks around us. And the only way we can make a difference is by making the right choice. You know, Paul reminded young Timothy to never forget the choices that his grandmother and his mother made as they taught him from being a little boy from the Word of God. You know what? They had it pretty rough. Timothy's father was not a believer. Timothy's father was a Greek. He was a philosopher most likely. And he didn't believe, but you know what? He had a grandmother and a mother that loved God. And they could have chosen this, just keep peace at home, and let's just compromise everything, and let's just please everybody. But Paul wrote there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Hey, you know what? It was because of the right choice that a mother and a grandmother made to raise up that little boy in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord that we have this book, the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy, that Paul writes to this young man, and we find out so much about living for God. Listen, folks, it's a right choice to make a right choice. But the second question I want to ask you is this: why did the people make the choice that they made? Why did the people make the choice that they made? Why do you make the choices that you make? Why do I make the choices that I make? Well, let's look at it here, verses 1 through 13. They made the choice that they made because they recognized the goodness and the faithfulness of God in their lives. Folks, you know what? When we sit down and we think about the goodness and the faithfulness of God in our lives, how could we not be found faithful unto Him? How could we not love Him and serve Him and want to give Him our very best? I'm reminded of what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. He wrote there, he said, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen? Man, you know what? I remember when we held our little children in our arms and we would look at them and we would just play with their hair and we would just kiss on them. And I'd look at them, I'd say, Daddy loves you. Mommy loves you. And you know what we were longing for? We were longing for that day when we would hear those children one day look back at us and say, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. And you know what? That's what God wants from you and from me today. God is always showing us His love and His goodness. God is always giving us His best. And what He longs for is to hear us give Him our best. Why did these people make the choice that they made? Well, number one, because they recognized the goodness and the faithfulness of God in their lives. But number two, because they realized that it was God and God alone who had saved them out of the world and called them to be His very own. Look at verse 12, the latter part of verse number 12. He said, not with thy sword nor with thy bow. He said, I sent the hornet. I drove out all the Amorites. I drove out all those folks from you. And it wasn't by your sword. It wasn't with your bow that you were saved. But it was me. Honey, it was God and God alone. Amen. And you know what? So many times, how can we not look at this life and see that it's God and God alone that does all that He does for us? We have what we have today because of what God has done. And since we as Christians will one day live forever with the Lord God in heaven, why should we not make the right choices so that our home on earth is a little bit more like the home in heaven that we're going to get to be in one day? Listen, there ought to be a little heaven on earth, don't you think? And it can be if we're willing to make the right choice. But then number three, the third question is this. Where did the people make their choice? Where did the people make their choice? Let's see where the choices were not made, first of all. Let's look at it just a minute. If you look here at verse number 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before the Lord. They came to the place where they met with the Lord. It wasn't at home in front of the TV, was it, on church night? It wasn't at the ball field or in the park somewhere, instead of going to church or Sunday school on Sunday morning. Hey, listen, it wasn't at the lake and in the woods and in the mountains when they should have been where they ought to be in the house of God. Listen, it wasn't at Grandma or Grandpa's house having fellowship. No, it was where they needed to be, in the place where they met with God. You know what? Church should be special to us today. But in so many areas of our land, churches are closed. I passed tonight, when we go by and pick up Miss Debbie, we passed several churches coming down the road. And there were no lights on in any of those churches tonight. Sunday night, I noticed when we came home, we go past several different churches as we go back to our house. And many of those churches were not even open. Not a one. And you know what, folks? I think sometimes we take for granted the privilege that God has given us to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We forget the blessing of being able to be where we can make the right choice. We can be encouraged by the preacher and the man of God to stand and do that which is right. And listen, folks, it is important. We need to make church a priority in our lives. It needs to be a priority in our life. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm chapter 122, verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to McDonald's on Sunday night. Is that what he said? No. You can do that after church, amen? Hey, listen, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad when we get to go to church. Listen, we don't need to sit around just fussing and criticizing one another. We need to be there because this is our family. This is our family. Now, we're some 400 miles away from our physical family. We don't get to see them very often. But you know what? You are our family tonight. And man, we love to be here with you. You know what I miss? Not having Sunday school. I miss not having Sunday school. I miss not having the fellowship with the folks in my class and loving on everybody and just praying for one another and fellowshipping and trying to snatch somebody's donut before they get a chance to get it and all that good stuff. Man, I miss those things. Amen? I miss those things. I miss getting to see those folks that come and have been here and serve the Lord for so many centuries, I mean so many years here faithfully. But because of this old virus mess, they're not able to come right now. Man, I miss them. I miss the time that we have in fellowship like this. I miss hearing our choir sing. Amen. Man, I miss hearing these folks sing. I was listening. I had pulled out some recordings I made of our choir singing. And man, I was just crying the other morning, sitting in the office, listening to our choir sing some of the songs that they were singing and thinking, Lord, is that going to be the last time we get to hear them sing? Man, I miss those things. I don't know about you, but I want to have a longing for those things that God has given to us. I want to long for those things once again. But then I want to ask, how was the choice to be made by the people? How was the choice to be made by the people? Look at it, verse number 14. Joshua encouraged them to make their choice immediately. He said, now, therefore, while God has your heart tender, and while God has your attention right now, make the right choice. Oh, how many times do we leave the house of God knowing what God wants us to do, and we say, well, God, I'll think about that. Maybe I'll decide on that a little later. And later on, the tender yearning of the Holy Spirit is no longer there. Because we failed to do what God wanted us to do immediately. Joshua urged them to make their choice immediately. He urged them to make their choice sincerely unto God. Entirely unto Him, wholeheartedly unto Him. Don't serve God half-heartedly. Listen, I don't love my wife with just my foot. Man, I love her with all my heart. If I come up to her and I say, Lisa, honey, I love you with all my brain. She'd look at me, she'd say, well, it is the little things that counts, I guess, yeah. But that's not what I tell her. I tell her, honey, I love you with all my heart. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. I mean, it's wholehearted to her. But you know what? God wants us to give him our all. Joshua urged him to make their choice truthfully before God, honestly, without any other purpose than from an honest heart. He wanted them to make the right choice. And then he reminded the people of all that God had done for them. And because of that, they needed to prove their sincerity from their heart. They needed to prove it. But then the fifth question I want to ask you is simply this. When did Joshua encourage the people to make their choice? This day. This day. I'm told of a story back in the early 1900s. Back in 1904, 1902 to 1905, in that era, revival swept across the land of Wales. And God spoke to the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and souls were saved. Christians were revived, and the gospel began to spread throughout the world. And one Welshman chose to be obedient to God. And he chose to go into the world of India. And he trekked up the mountains to a remote village in the east. It's called the Garo Hills of Assam, India. Now, he was told to go back. Don't you know those folks are cannibals? They're headhunters. They're haters of everybody. They're very violent. But that Welshman, he ignored the warnings because he knew that even those savage headhunters should have the opportunity to hear about the mercy of God. And so he went. And one tribesman and his family heard the gospel message that Welshman preached. And they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. The good news of his salvation soon began to spread. And it was simply too good to keep to themselves. So that tribesman and his wife and two children, they began to spread throughout that tribe and that village what God had done for them and the message of God's love for them. But when they did that, the chief of the village was very angry. And he had that tribesman and his whole family dragged before the whole village. And the chief yelled at them. He said, "You stop following Jesus." And that tribesman stood there. And he said, "No, I've decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not turning back." And the chief was furious about the choice that this man had made. And so, without saying anything, he gave motion to some of the men in the tribe, and they took their bows and their arrows, and they shot and they killed that man's two children, and they fell to the ground before him. And the chief said, "Stop following Jesus." And that tribesman replied, he said, "Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back." And that chief, he showed no mercy to this tribesman. And he gave another signal, and the bowsmen took their arrows and shot and killed that tribesman's wife. "Now you'll stop following this Jesus," the chief said. The tribesman looked the chief in the eyes and he replied, "The cross before me and the world behind me. No turning back." And that chief could not believe his ears, and he had those men take their bows and arrows and shoot that tribesman, and they killed him. And that man died. He, his wife, and his two children all died that day. But I'm reminded in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 24, The Bible said Jesus spoke there and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Amen. And there that day, when that tribesman and his wife and his two children stood, and they immediately made the right choice to stand for God, they died. But their deaths resulted in many of that village coming to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And that chief who looked at them and he wondered within his mind and he wondered within his heart, saying, "Why would this man die for a man that came to this earth 2,000 years before us? A man that was on another continent. Why would this man die for such a one as that?" And the chief realized that it was for him that he died. The last words of that tribesman, whose name was Nak Singh, he was of the Garo tribe there in Assam, India. The last words of that tribesman became the song of the village. And today, that song is sung all around the world. That song is entitled, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." No turning back. No turning back. Folks, it's time that you and I make some right decisions. We're living in a world tonight that's not making many right decisions. And folks, tonight you and I have got to make our decision. And as Joshua looked at those people, he said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Make your decisions tonight. As God is speaking to your heart, make the right decision.